Matthew chapter number 5. I may sound like I'm down in a barrel this morning. I'm fighting a little bit of a head cold, I think. But that's all right. And I've got a message from the Lord today, and we praise Him for His grace. Thank God it is by His grace. If it wasn't by His grace, would none of us make it? No doubt about it. Because the Bible says if we have broken the law in one part, then we're guilty of the entire law. And which means if you've ever sinned, you're not good enough for heaven. But thank God Jesus Christ took our place. And by His wonderful, amazing grace, if you call upon Him in sincere faith, the wonderful, matchless, glorious grace of Jesus Christ will transform your soul, convert you, and take you to heaven, because He is good enough. And we have His record, we who are saved. That ought to excite you a little bit this morning, thinking about that if you're saved, you have the record of Jesus Christ given to your account. That's grace. And there's no doubt about that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase, "Ye are the salt of the earth." The salt of the earth. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. God, we love you today, but we're reminded of the verse that we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for your wonderful grace this morning. I pray if somebody has come to church but has never come to Christ, may it be so obvious today what they need to do. May the Holy Spirit do your office work of conviction and draw them to yourself and save them this day. And we who are saved, help us to see the importance of this name that you've given to us. Help us, God, to be effective, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Within the pages of God's Word, He has given us many names to show us who and what we are as His dear children. And these many names can encourage and motivate us in the cause of Jesus Christ. And let me say here again that when the Lord saves a sinner, He does a whole lot for them. Now, we've already considered some wonderful names, the name children of God. We've considered the name the righteous. And we've looked at the name ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now we come to this text in Matthew chapter 5. And there's a whole lot that we see that the Lord expects from His children by this name that He's given to us in chapter 5, verse number 13. It's the name, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, in this simple statement, we can learn a whole lot about what the Lord wants from His children. And let me say this to you. In this text, the Lord is in the process of giving the Sermon on the Mount. He has delivered the Beatitudes in verses 1 through 12. And then in verse number 13, He gives that glorious name that we are salt. Now, there's three things I want to give you this morning considering salt. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ has given one of the names of His children as the salt of the earth. Now, to keep in mind, we're going to look at salt today and show you some things about it. And see what Jesus Christ is saying here. Number one, the first thing I want you to notice about the salt of the earth is, let's notice its description. Notice the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, in this statement, we see the Lord making a statement in which we need to describe what salt is in order to get the point He is making. Somebody said this: people in general do not realize the importance of salt in maintaining the life and health of their bodies. Do you realize an exact percentage of salt is present in the bloodstream at all times? And any great change from this percentage can do serious damages to the body. The Bible lists nearly 50 references to salt, and many of them are positive references, such as Leviticus chapter 2, and verse 13, which says this: "In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt
offer salt. See, in this verse we see with all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Salt was the opposite to leaven, for it preserved from putrefaction and corruption and signified the purity and the persevering fidelity that were necessary to the worship of God Almighty. Now stay here with me just a moment because we're under this first point. In Numbers chapter 18 verse 19, it says, "It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee." Back in the book of 2 Chronicles, do not turn to it for time's sake, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 5, the Bible says this, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt." See, the bottom line is, under the description here, salt is a good thing. But my question is why? Why is salt a good thing? Let me give you several points under this first point as we're looking at salt's description. Number one under this, it is good because it preserves. See, salt fights against rot and decay. It is applied to foods to preserve them from corruption. And may I say to you that Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. For instance, in Genesis 18:23 through 19:28, keep in mind the story that Abraham was informed that Sodom would be destroyed, would not be destroyed, if only 10 righteous people were found there. What we need are salty Christians to help preserve our country at this trying time. And what we need are salty Christians to help preserve our churches and preserve our homes from destruction. Salt is good because it preserves. What is it that's keeping God's hand of wrath from falling on this world and sending it into tribulation? May I tell you what's keeping it is the presence of salt. The presence of His children. And when salt is removed and taken out of the equation, then corruption sets in. I wonder this morning, are you helping to preserve this country? Are you helping to preserve your home? Are you helping to preserve this church from decay and rot and destruction and corruption? Number one, it's good first. We're looking at its description because it preserves. Number two, it's good because it penetrates. Boy, I'm starting to get a little bit riled up. I hope my voice doesn't leave me here. Salt penetrates and pierces everything it touches. It is an aggressive substance. There's no doubt that God desires His children in the same way to be aggressively active in the world around us. Whether on the job, in the school, in the community, Acts 8:4, "Therefore they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Acts 17:6, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." See, we're not to be passive, we're to be aggressive. We're to be going after people and charging the gates of hell, because God says here that the gates of hell, which is the defensive place, you understand, it was for defense. And God says we ought to be charging the gates of hell. We ought to be aggressive in our Christianity. We ought not to be ashamed of who we are. Bless our heart. Thank God He saved us from hellfire. And we ought to be aggressively going after people for the glory of Jesus Christ. Salt is good because it preserves. Salt is good because it penetrates. Salt is good, thirdly, because it purifies. Do you realize that salt has a cleansing ability? The pure salt that is unadulterated with no anti-caking additives or bleach has effect for healing in things such as sinus or bronchial congestion. That's applicable to me this morning, amen. It can heal trauma or fluid retention, or it can even lower blood pressure. I know too much salt is bad on your blood pressure, but just enough of it can help lower blood pressure. See, salt has a purifying effect on different things. And may I say to you that in 2 Kings 2:19 through 22, that Elisha healed and cleansed the waters of Jericho with salt. Read it for yourself. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and give firmness to their skin. That's found in Ezekiel 16:1 through 6. What am I saying? Just as salt purifies what it comes in contact with, even so, God's children should have a purifying effect on the world around us. Your presence should cause other people to have respect for God. Let me ask you a question. Does your presence purify wherever you're at? Do people, if they slip up and say a curse word, do they know that you're a Christian and you have a purifying effect? And they say, oh, sorry, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't know you was in the room. Well, you just blend in with everybody around you because you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. You know what God wants? God wants His children to stick out. He wants His children to have a purifying effect on those around Him. He wants His children to have a penetrating effect. He wants His children to have a preserving effect and a purifying effect. But number four, it is a good thing because it pleases. And what I mean by that is this, salt brings out the best. It adds flavor to food. You know, there are some foods better off not eaten if you don't have salt with it. Job 6:6 says this, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" And just as salt adds flavor, pleases, just as it adds flavor, so should Christians to the world around them. We should bring out the best in people around us. That's what we ought to be doing. Philippians 1:21, "Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I wonder, are people better after spending time with you? That's a searching question. Do you have a pleasing effect? Do you add flavor to other people? Are they better people, better Christians, after spending some time with you than before they spent time with you? That's what God wants. God wants His children to be salt that has a pleasing effect and adds flavor to those who come in contact with them. Then number five, salt is good because it poisons some things. My, my, this is really a message in itself. But salt kills some things too. For instance, have you ever poured salt on a slug? I'm not going to ask for any response there, you know. Salt poured on a slug, you know what happens. Same time salt poured on a lawn will kill the grass. Too much salt's not good for blood pressure. And Abimelech in Judges chapter 9 verse 45 took a city. And you know what he did after he conquered it? The Bible says he sowed it with salt to keep the ground from being used to grow crops. He killed the fields with salt. Now, in the same way, true Christianity will put some things to death. It'll poison some things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new." See, having Christians around, when a piece of salt walks into the room, it ought to poison some things. It ought to put some things to death. If there's sin going on there, then the presence of a Christian should get all over it and put it to death. I am tired of this mediocre Christianity where young people and older people alike feel like if I'm going to make a difference, then I'm going to have to blend in with them. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want to make a difference? Be salt. Be salt. And when a slug walks in, jump all over it and stop the growth of it. It ought to put some things to death. True biblical Christianity, we need salt poured all over the place today. God help His children not to act like something else when they are salt. Salt poisons, that makes it good. And the last thing under this description here is salt is a good thing because it promotes. What do I mean by that? It creates a thirst for water. and those exposed to it. And as salt creates a thirst for water, God help us to create a thirst for the water of life, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder when people see you and listen to how you talk and watch your Christian life, does it make them want what you have? Does it make them thirsty for Jesus Christ? I want what he has. I'm not sure what he's got, but I want what that guy's got right there. I promise you, if you act like them, they don't want what you have. They think they already have it. The world's looking for something different. Did you know that? You know what that something different is? His name is Jesus Christ. They don't even know it. It's like a puzzle. If I could paint a picture of this little heart right here, well, huge heart here. And if I, listen, if that heart right there was one piece, let's just say two pieces, okay? Just two pieces, cut in half. We have one piece up there, and yet we want to fill this empty place. You can take a square all you want to, it's not going to fit in there, folks. You can take a circle, it's not going to fit. There's only one piece that fits in that empty place. And all around us, the world is trying to cram in their vacuum inside of them. They're trying to cram things like money and sex and all these kind of things and drugs and music and all these kind of things. They're trying to jam it in. But there's only one piece that fits. His name is Jesus. He's the one that has true satisfaction. But yet so many Christians say, I just don't know if I can say anything. They might make fun of me. Oh, what am I going to do if I get a door slammed in my face? Oh, what am I going to do if they curse me out? Right here's what I'm saying. We ought to live a life, God help me to do the same. We ought to live a life that when people spend time with us, they get a little thirsty for something. They see something different in us, and they want what we have. I don't know about you. I don't want what the world has. It doesn't satisfy. And anybody who's living in the world this morning and you're not right with God, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's only temporary. But Jesus Christ is eternal. And he is true satisfaction. And may God help his children who are salt to promote a thirst for Jesus Christ. Do people get thirsty when they come around you? Because they want what you have. Number one, it's description. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because it preserves. So should Christians. It's a good thing because it penetrates. So should Christians. It's a good thing because it purifies. So should Christians. It's a good thing because it pleases. So should Christians. It's a good thing because it poisons. So should Christians. It's a good thing because it promotes. And so should Christians. How you doing so far? How you doing? Are you fulfilling your duty as salt? That brings me to my second thing, and that is this. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Not only its description, but number two, its danger. We see the danger of salt. We see it in verse number 13. Look at it. You're the salt of the earth. Here it is. Here's the danger. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? See, the danger of salt is it can become tasteless. And it can become powerless. Stay with me. Now let's look at this just a moment. See, salt was very valuable in the ancient world. So valuable, in fact, that the Roman legions were often paid their wages in salt. This payment was called the salarium. This is where the expression comes from. They're not worth their salt. You ever heard that expression? It comes from that. Roman soldiers used to be paid many times in salt. But it was possible, now stay here, for salt in that day to lose its flavor. The salt used then was far different from what we see today. Now stay here with me, because I'm getting ready to give you something here that is absolutely amazing. Stay here with me. See, our salt is a chemical compound called chloride of sodium, or sodium chloride. But the salt used in ancient world was either mined from the salt cliffs along the Dead Sea, which were 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, or it was evaporated from the waters of the Dead Sea.
Either way, it was always mixed with the mineral or vegetable matter. Now stay here with me. When this substance was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, the salt lost its salty taste. Even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs was discarded because exposure to the light rendered it tasteless. And this tasteless salt also lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and was being sought after to begin with. Now, let me give you an illustration. There was a man who is describing the Valley of Salt, and he speaks this way. In other words, he was there. He saw this. Here's what he said. I quote, "Along on the one side of the valley toward Gibel, there is a small precipice about two men's lengths, occasioned by the continual taking away of the salt. And in this you may see how the veins of it lie." Here, listen to this. "I broke a piece of it, of which that part that was exposed to the rain, exposed to the sun and air, though it had the sparks and particles of salt, yet it had perfectly lost its savor. But the inner part that was connected to the rock retained its savor, as I found by proof." Oh my. Now, I don't know if you heard what I just said, but here we learn that salt, back in this day, the salt that was connected to the rock never lost its savor. But the salt that had the elements of the world beating down on it and would touch the earth lost its savor. Now you know what I'm getting ready to say here, don't you? What an obvious application. That it is possible for Christians to lose their saltiness. Now, granted, there was never a time that it wasn't salt, you understand. It was still salt, but it could lose its flavor. It could lose its power. And in the same way, this happens to us when we, just like salt, come in too close a contact with this world. And when we get to be more like the world than we are like the Lord, then we have lost that thing that sets us apart and makes us valuable to the Lord's kingdom. Thank God we're still salt, but God wants us to still have savor. The fact is, salt can be affected by foreign substances to the point that it loses its saltiness and is now unsavory, which means it's dull or it's tasteless. And may I say to you that just like the only way for salt not to lose its savor is to stay connected to the rock, in the same way, this is a picture of fellowship with Jesus Christ. You must stay connected in the prayer room. You must stay connected in God's Word, because as long as you are connected to Jesus Christ, walking with Him day by day, you will never become dull. You'll never become tasteless. God wants His children to be aware of the danger. It's a blessing to be salt, but there's a danger with it. If you don't stay connected, you can lose your taste. You can lose your power. Stay connected to the rock. God help us to stay connected and not let the sun and the rain and the elements of the world cause our salt to lose its savor. God, help us to be salty Christians. No doubt about it. 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Don't turn to it, but in John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." The danger of the salt is that it can become unsavory. It can lose its flavor. It can lose its effect. It can lose its power. And that brings me to my third point back in Matthew chapter 5. And that is this, going right along with the danger of it, we see the disappointment of it. We see the description of it. It's a good thing because of all these things that it can do. We see the danger of it if it's exposed to the elements of the world and it starts touching the earth and it's not connected to the rock, it loses its saltiness, it loses its savor. And that brings me to my third point, which is its disappointment. Look at verse 13 again. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Here it is. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It is thenceforth good for nothing, the Bible says, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You know, it's interesting in my study in ancient times when salt lost its savor. It was still salt, you understand, but it just lost its savor. It was then taken out and cast into the footpaths. And it was used much as gravel is in our day. Its only purpose then was to kill out the weeds that might grow in the road and for me to walk on to keep their sandals and for men to walk on to keep their sandals out of the mud. Literally, it was to be trodden under the foot of men. In other words, back in ancient days, if the salt lost its savor, it lost its saltiness, it lost its power, they took it from what its purpose was and they threw it in the streets. And men walked on it. It was good for nothing. And every Christian needs to understand that when we lose our saltiness and when we cease to function as salt in the world, we're still salt. Thank God for that. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose our usefulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this happens, we have become something to be trodden under and treated with contempt. When we're living for the Lord, men may not like us. But there's often a certain respect for the stand we take and for the testimony that we possess. When we allow our testimony to become tainted by sin and the world, then men will walk upon our testimony. And we become absolutely useless to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be found winding up being cast out as salt trodden under foot of men. I want my life to be useful to Jesus Christ. I want Him to be able to use my life to bring others to Himself. I really would like to be a blessing and a light for the Lord. I believe every child of God in this auditorium should have a desire to be salty Christians for the glory of God. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, "But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know what that word castaway means? Worthless. Unapproved. That's Paul. Anybody like to be compared to the Apostle Paul? Would you raise your hand? Would you like to be compared to him? Nor would I. And even he said this, "I keep my body under because I don't want to become unsavory. I don't want to become worthless." Luke 14, 34 and 35, salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what God says? If you can hear, listen to this. If you lose your savor, you're not good for the field and you're not even good for the dunghill. Stay connected. Don't lose your salt. Your salty effect. From the moment of conception, humans are never without a need for salt. Salt changes nearly everything it touches. And may I say to you that we are called to be thermostats, not thermometers. We're called to change the world around us. We are to be instruments that God can use to implement change in a wicked world. And when genuine New Testament Christianity touches this sinful, wicked world, there will be a change of some variety. We just need to be sure that we're changing the world and not the other way around. The modern mentality is this: we have to be like the world to win the world. But I say to you, we'd win more if we just determined to be like Jesus Christ. You don't have to become like the world to win the world. You need to get close to Jesus Christ and let the Lord win them to himself through you.
As you consider your life this morning, can you honestly say that your life is like salt in this world? There's a tremendous need for every child of God to be all God wants them to be in these days. We've seen enough falsehood, enough hypocrisy, and weak living to do us in the world a lifetime. And what we need to be about is the business of purifying, preserving, penetrating, pleasing, promoting, so that the Lord can use our lives and our testimonies for His glory. God, help His children to be salty Christians. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Mark 9:50 says this, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Just bow our heads, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask that nobody leaves unless it's just of the utmost necessity, that you just absolutely have to leave. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Our Father God, we thank you for this message. I thank you for how you're dealing with my heart in this message. And I thank you that, God, you have made me a piece of salt. Every child of God is salt. And we need to be our best kind of salt by staying connected to thee. Help me to guide this invitation, I pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits, do your precious will. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Would you allow me to do that? I wonder this morning, are you salt? See, there are two types of people in the world. There's salt and non-salt. You're either salt or you're not. There's no in between. Salt is a picture of God's children. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are salt. If you have not, you are not salt. So I'm asking you, first of all, are you salt? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be called salt. It really is. That means you're a child of God. If you can say, Jody, upon authority of God's word. Now, preacher's looking, I'm looking, but nobody else is. And you say, Jody, I am salt. I am in the family. I am a child of God. And you know that. Would you raise your hand? Please don't raise it unless you know that, please. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there somebody here who say, Jody, being honest with you and honest with God, I cannot honestly say that I know I'm salt. And let me say this before I ask this question. If you respond to this, we are not going to come to your seat. We're not going to call you out or embarrass you, because there was a day when we had to raise our hand to this as well. But we do love you and we do want to help you. Is there anybody here this morning, you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm salt. But I know that if I'm not, I want to be. Raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Yes, thank you up in the balcony. God bless you. Somebody else. You say, Jody, pray for me. Yes, thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Yes, thank you. Yes, good. Good. If you just raise your hand to that, I want you quietly to sit back in your seat and look at me. Would you do that? I just want you to see that I see you. Okay? Not going to come to your seat. Not going to do anything like that. Just let you know that I see you. Okay? In just a moment, you can put your hand down. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. Let me show you how that works. In just a moment, we're going to have everybody stand, and their heads are still going to be bowed, and their eyes are still going to be closed. We have trained soul winners. In other words, this is serious business. This is between heaven and hell. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We don't want you to take our word for it. We want to show you from God's word what you need to do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
We want to show you. We want you to see it. Because right here is how we know we're going to heaven. We're going to take some trained soul winners who will be up front, and they will take you, and right here at the altar, with heads bowed and eyes closed for a majority of the time, they're going to share with you from God's Word how you can be saved. As you look at me, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the folks who are sitting on either side of you right now? Do you know anybody who's sitting on either side of you? You do? I'd like you to poke whoever that is. Would you do that? And if they do, I want you to come together, okay? Do you know who is sitting beside you? If you do, I want you to poke them, and I want them to look at me. I want you to help them come. Just a moment, we're going to do that. As a matter of fact, let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Father, take it now. Use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Brother Gary is singing, if God is dealing with you right now, right now. I'm not through dealing with people. But right now, if you say, I want to be salt, if you just raise your hand right now, I want you to come. I want you to come right now. Would you do that as Brother Gary sings? Would you come? Please. Please do this. God, help you to do it. God, help you to step out. May the Lord help you to step out right now. God, help you to come forward. May the Lord help you to come forward.
Mold me,
may the Lord help you to come forward right now. Would you do that? God, help you to do it. We're not going to force you. We can't force you to do it. This is what you need. If this is what you need, this is what we want.
Have thine own way,
God, help you with it.
Have thine own way.
May the Lord help you with this.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
They're playing through softly. If you're still standing, I still want your eyes closed, your heads bowed. But let me ask you this question. Have you say, Jody, I'm salt, but I believe I'm in the danger of losing my savor. I'm in too close a contact with the world. And I just feel like I'm not doing the job that God wants me to do. But I want that saltiness. I want to make a difference in this life for God. God is dealing with me. I feel like I'm losing my savor. God, help me to get connected and stay. Have you say, Jody, God's dealing with me in that area. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. All over this place. Put it up in the air. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. If you raise your hand, I don't do this often, but if you raise your hand at that, I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? There are lost people in this auditorium. There are lost people in this auditorium. Lost people in this auditorium. And if you respond to this and they see you come, it may help them come. You understand what I'm saying? Won't you look right up here at me, please? I'm talking to those who are looking at me right now. I'm talking to you right now. If God's dealing with you, would you leave your place and come now? Would you do that? God help you to leave your place and come. May the Lord help you with this. God help you with it. If somebody is still lost, not sure they're saved, right now, I know the devil's fighting this. I know he is. I know he is. But I promise you, if you step out, you'll never regret it. I promise you, the only way you're going to regret it is if you don't step out. God help you to come now. Would you do that? God help you to step out. Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. It's your decision. It's your decision. It's your decision. Brother Gary, let's sing that next verse. May God help these people to come.
Have thine own way, Lord.
God help you to come.
Have thine own way.
May the Lord help you.
Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
They're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. If there are those who responded to salvation but have not come forward, that is between you and the Lord. But I will say this. After the service is over, now you know who you are. After the service is over, I'm going to stay right here at this altar.
And if you'd like to come talk to me about it, we'll take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. I hope you'll do it. You know, years ago, preacher, I would keep pleading and keep begging and keep trying to keep the invitations open and trying to pull their legs to come. I'm not going to do that much anymore. I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. You know what you need to do. But I'm not going to try to force you to come. That's between you and the Lord. May the Lord help you with it. We're here for you. God help you with it. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Play through softly another time or two, please. We're almost through. You've heard the message. God's spoken to your heart. We're almost through. I'd come on. I'd come on. I'd get things right with the Lord today. This is your opportunity. Preacher, some other time. There may not be another time. Today is the day when you ought to step out. Come on right now. We're almost through. Don't miss God's opportunity. Okay, you may be seated for just a moment, please.